People simply gathered, listened, waited, and sought to be obedient. That's True Blood's description of seekers, who were a people that George Fox preached to really before Quakers were a thing. And many became, they responded well to George Fox and his teaching, and many of them became Quakers. But it really describes Quakers and describes us. People simply gathered, listened, waited, and sought to be obedient. We're gathered together in the presence of God. We listen together, and we really expect God to speak to us. But we also seek to be obedient, to follow the leadings as we hear them, to be faithful, to go and do whatever it is that we feel nudged to go and do, to live into the truth of the message that we receive. This holy obedience, this life of walking with Jesus, who speaks to our condition and tells us how to live out God's purposes in our lives. But I want to contrast what is meant by holy obedience with the idea of being good. As children, we're naturally taught to obey our parents and other leaders, other adults in our lives, other authority figures, teachers, or whoever it may be. And we've all gotten in trouble for not being obedient. You aren't a human child if you don't get in trouble at some point for not being obedient. And we've also been told how proud our parents are when we're good and we do what we're supposed to do. As we mature, the more there's more autonomy as we take on the role of decision-making for ourselves, and we learn to make choices. Some are good choices and some aren't so good choices, and we learn that we have to live with those consequences of the poorer choices in our lives. There are still boundaries, laws, and other forms of outside guidance, but the immediate command to obey someone else, someone external, becomes less central to our way of living. However, I find that we often transfer this pattern of obedience to God. I must be good and do the right thing. And we fall into the trap of learning that in order to become a good Christian, I must be good. I must be good and do what's right. I must be an obedient child of God. Not just an obedient child of my parents, but I must be an obedient child of God and do the right thing. But I think that's a different kind of holy obedience that Thomas Kelly and others are talking about when they talk about holy obedience. They're talking about a complete obedience without reservations. This isn't just a, I must be good. I'm supposed to be good. It's a willingness and a desire to follow God's faintest whisper. It's a desire to live fully into the truth of who God is in me, and to allow that to unfold in ways that have transformed and changed me, that are real and are tangible. It's been said that for some, religion exists as a dull habit, in others as an acute fever. But religion as a dull habit isn't that for which Christ lived and died. And as a youth, George Fox was quite religious by earthly standards. It's said that he had even memorized much of the scripture, could repeat them by heart. And it was even suggested to him that he become a ministerial student and become a leader in the church. But there was something that drove him deeper, looking for more. There was something that said, I'm not satisfied with these answers of just living this I'm a good boy life. And he was unsatisfied with the religious offerings of his day. We're told that he asked many people. He sought out answers from priests, from pastors, from anyone that he could talk to, trying to find out how to go deeper, how to go beyond this just being a good person. He said, Isn't there something else? And it was this insatiable hunger that drove him to look for that something else. And it is that something else that gives rise to a holy obedience that's really real and is beyond goodness, is something more than just being a good person. I want to illustrate that today by telling how it happened in me, by telling my story. That's the story I know best. I was always a Christian. In fact, people ask me sometimes, when did you first become a Christian? And I tell them that I cannot remember a time when I didn't know that Jesus loved me. My parents, before I could talk and before I could remember anything different, told me that Jesus loved me. I could sing the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, I can't remember when I didn't know it. So I really can't remember a time when I didn't know Jesus and that I didn't know that Jesus loved me. I grew up in the church and I learned the church culture. I learned how to be a part of the church. I was active in, when I was a kid, we had what we called Christian Endeavor. And the kids in the Christian Endeavor would lead their own lessons, and I was one of the leaders that led lessons on a Sunday night and prepared something to share with the other kids. And as I grew and became a part of the youth group, I did the same thing, was often a leader, and was active in doing things within the church. One day, Carol Landis brought some bulletins that she had found. This was a few years ago, that you were going through your house, and you found a bulletin, and it said that I had come to Friends Memorial Church when I was in college and was sharing with the youth about that as a summer youth ambassador and that I spoke here at this church. So I was really active throughout all of my early years as a leader in the church and going places, doing things. I thought that was quite fun that Carol found that and brought it with my name in it many years later. But increasingly, I really felt a gap between my outer self and my internal being. I knew how to play the game really well. I had been going to church so long that I knew what you were supposed to do. I knew it better than I knew how to do other stuff. And I could excel at really playing that game, but it felt like there was this dissonance in which it didn't really feel like it rang home and was true for me. And I struggled with that. Increasingly, it felt like when I would pray that the prayers didn't go anywhere. They just felt like I was going through the motions of what I knew I was supposed to do, and I struggled with that. Finally, as a young adult, probably in my late 20s, I decided to quit playing the game, although I stayed in the church. I was such a part of the church that I didn't know how to be outside of the church in many ways. But that I wasn't going to pretend that I had this intimate relationship with God that didn't feel real. And I wasn't going to try to do all the things they said you're supposed to do. You know, get up every morning, read your Bible and pray and do all this stuff. Just be, you know, that felt hollow for me. And so I set those things aside, although I was still active, and I didn't disregard my belief in God. I didn't just kind of throw out God altogether and say, I'm going to go be a wild, rebellious person. I stayed a part of the church, and I stayed active. And I think in that period of time, about 10 years, I really grew laterally. I learned some new things, but it was less about my relationship with God. It was more about my connections with people. There were other kinds of journeys that were really all a part of my relationship with God, although I didn't see it that way. But I grew in different kinds of ways. But after about 10 years of holding God at arm's length, and a friend that was a pastor said, you don't really know how hard you held God at at arm's length. But after about 10 years of doing that, I began to feel God tapping me on the shoulder. You know when you're in a crowd and there's a bunch of people around and somebody taps you on the shoulder and you turn around and you don't see anybody, you don't know where it is, and you don't know where it's coming from. Sometimes we do this to tease each other, you know, and play. And play a game. But that's kind of what it felt like, was that there I was being tapped on the shoulder and I could recognize that it was from God, but I didn't know how to incorporate it into my life. I could recognize that there were events, like when my grandmother died, and there was a real recognition that Grandma had been the one that told us all that she loved us and prayed for us. And there was a powerful moment in which we said to each other, we have to do that for each other. And it wasn't just, kind of the caught up in the emotion of the moment. We need to be faithful to remember to pray for each other. It was like it was a real thing that rang true for me. And another time I was at a church service, and not my own, it was my parents' church, and I heard a sermon that changed how I looked at God. And it was amazing to me to recognize that how I understood God could be so different than what I had always thought. I realized that I had always looked at God as my Father, and that's common language that we always use, but I related to God a lot like my dad. My dad, who was wise and I had a lot of respect for, but wasn't the one that I found it easy to talk to. That was my mom. And my dad would give wise advice if you needed it, but just to go talk about how do you, you know, what's going on in your life and kind of having that chatty conversation with, that's always did that with my mom. When I got in trouble, there were some intense times of reconnection with my father that were important to me, but they were only kind of isolated times after I got in trouble. And realizing that God really wanted to relate to me like my mom too. And I began to get this picture of God as like my dad and my mom and something else that neither one of them could live into, that God was this whole being that desired to know me in a way that was phenomenal. Oh, wow, that was huge. But I still struggled to know how to pull that into my life and to make it real. And there were other times that I began to feel God's tap on my shoulder, times when I thought, God is present. God is nudging me. I got to be really good friends with a woman who had a deep, deep relationship with God. And she was going through a lot of struggles at work. Her boss was not particularly good to her and struggling with that. And I was amazed at all the struggles she went through, that her faith never wavered. And it's like that should have shaken you somehow at the core, and to recognize that it didn't. Finally, there was a morning, one morning early, about 3:00. I happened to be in a hotel room, and I woke up early, and I knew that God was present in that moment. There was something about it, and there were lots of thoughts going through my head, but I couldn't make sense out of them. They were kind of going too fast through my head. And so I got up and I found paper and pencil and I began to write. And I actually wrote out my life story from the time I was a little girl until the date at when that took place. And in that, writing out my life story, my just what happened, just who I was, as well as my struggles and my doubts, as well as the things that I felt good about and that I had been able to achieve. It was just my story. It was nothing fancy. It was nothing outlandish. It was just my story. And when I wrote that out, I recognized that I was enough. That God loved me as I was, and that I didn't have to do anything else in order to be accepted by God. I didn't have to be good enough, or I didn't have to prove anything, or I didn't have to do something different. There was a sense in which I knew, in the core of my being, in a way I had never known, that God loved me, and that I was enough. This was a different knowing from the little kid knowing that says, Jesus loves me, this I know. This was a knowing that really resonated deeply, and I could rest in it. I could settle into it, that it was enough and that I was enough. And my story was enough. Who I am is enough. And that I could do anything that God called me to do. And you know, that began a journey of intimacy that led me into a life of holy obedience. A life that was transformed and changed. I think from then on, just really knowing that I was a part of God and God was a part of me, it felt wholly different than how I had ever felt before. I knew that God loved me in a way that I didn't understand before. And it wasn't at all dependent on being who I should be or on how well I followed. And actually, I learned that when I didn't go on the right path or I didn't follow right, I didn't get kicked out. And that was amazing, that God loved me as I was, no matter what, no matter what. It somehow sunk in just by being honest about who I am, nothing more. It just got into my core that I didn't need anything else. And from there, it was a joy to live in intimate connection to Jesus, to follow whatever he said. I began this journey that was life-changing, and I began to ask questions, what about this and what about that? And out of that came this life that I live today, which is completely amazing to me. But it was just by taking one step at a time. It was an adventure that we could explore life together, explore the questions that I have, the doubts that I have, as well as the doings that I was called to do. And I was accompanied by one who both knew me fully and loved me deeply. I knew that God knew me, and we all know that in some senses, that God knows even our doubts, even our failings, even our dark side. We know that in our heads, but to have that experiential encounter where you sit down and write, okay, God, this is the real raw me. And recognize that God loved us and loved me was profound. So I was accompanied by this God who knew me fully and loved me deeply. And in that, I felt empowered to go forth boldly, opening doors and taking risks of being. Not only did I go to seminary and move on to become a pastor, but that God has led day by day in little ways as well as in big ways, in ways that were just life-changing. Your story will be entirely different. You know, there's no ritual to follow. There's no magic words to say. There are no prescribed pattern of knowing. I'll never forget the day that I was told that Jesus only told one person that you must be born again. And while those are profound words and have meaning for many of us, the truth is it's a message from God direct to our spirits that speaks directly to our conditions and that God is real and can touch us. It's simply your story of God's unfolding presence in your life and allowing God to be there and to walk with you. Don't try to make it more than it is. And let it include your questions and your doubts. Be real and absolutely honest. Be still and wait. Listen. If it helps, write it out for yourself. It helped me to be able to write it down. And tell the whole of it, including the twists and turns, the dark side as well as the good side. It won't be a straight line, so don't try to make it straight. And don't try to explain all the inconsistencies. Let it be what it is, and let it be before God. And then look for God in your story. Where are you, God? Where are you in my story? And let God show you where he is. Invite God to show you. Then begin where you are now. Follow the next leading, no matter how insignificant. And learn to trust the leadings that come. Just take it one step at a time, one day at a time. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we kind of got to cross the Grand Canyon to the other side to get to that place where we're really there, rather than recognizing that it's a long journey down to the bottom with God and a long journey back up the other side. And that as we walk step by step, we learn together and we're taught how to live and how to be and taken on wild adventures that we never would have dreamed. There's even a raft drift down the river at the bottom that we didn't anticipate. Those kinds of things that happen in the middle of things. So take it one step and one day at a time. And if you find you get off the path, simply turn and get back on. Without shame. Shame kills us. Shame puts us in a place that makes us want to hide. So without shame, simply turn and get back on. Don't try to force it. Let it come to you. And in that transforming grace of God's presence, that is enough. We have everything we need to live this life of holy obedience. We are empowered and strengthened to walk with God day by day and to allow God's slightest whisper to be our nudges as we go forth throughout the day. God is here. God is transforming us as we listen and say yes. Let us wait in open worship.